With God's help, I desire that we would turn together to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Gospel of Matthew 25, and I'd like to read the first 13 verses.
Читаќи се Светог Евангелие по Матеју из 25 главе, првих 13 броева. Свето Евангелие по Матеју, 25 глава.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." May God bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before the Lord in prayer. The scripture teaches us, and we read, "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." The message of watching, being vigilant, being awake and aware of the spiritual battle that is around us, is a word that goes not just to some, but to all. Be awake. Be alert. Be in prayer. And be ready for the Lord's return. Be ready for the Lord to speak to you this morning, because it is not men who stand before you that matter. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God that you read when you look at these pages. It is the Lord speaking to your heart and to my heart, and it is before Him that we're responsible. And He lovingly warns and wants us to be prepared. And so He advises not one, but each and every one. Watch. Open your eyes. Open your ears. Be alert. Be attentive to what the Lord is speaking. What He speaks is something of value for our souls. What He speaks is the very best, the purest, the most healthy spiritual nutrition that we can ingest. And so may we, with a prayerful heart and a humble heart, ask the Lord to remove all distractions, all thoughts of even the servant that's speaking, and to listen to the Lord and to His words. Jesus speaks a parable in these first 13 verses. He speaks of 10 virgins who were preparing for a wedding. The bridegroom was going to come. They knew it was going to happen. 5 prepared oil for their lamps so that they would be ready with light. And if the bridegroom would come at night when no one can see and be able to walk, they would be able to go and find their way. And 5 did not take with them oil, but they did take their lamps. And the bridegroom tarried. It took some time for the bridegroom to come. They all fell asleep, and then they were woken up with a call, with a cry, a shout. Behold, behold, look at this. The bridegroom is here, and now go out to meet him. Those that were prepared with oil in their lamps had light to guide them, had light to shed light upon their path that they could find their way to the place of meeting. And what a joy it was for those that were prepared to be able to be with the bridegroom for that joyous celebration of this occasion. We can understand that. But those that were not ready, they immediately realized that their lamps had gone out and they were not ready. There was something missing. And they looked around and asked the others, "Can we borrow from you?" They said, "No, that would not work. That would not do. That's not a possibility. But we do know where to go." And the virgins that did not prepare, they knew where to go beforehand. They knew the way to the seller's house, to the market. They knew exactly where to go. But this parable teaches us that there was a window of opportunity where preparation could take place. There was a span of time in which spiritual preparation can take place for us. And that is our life. One and all will find a day when we close our eyes, these physical eyes, to this life. We'll, as it were, slumber and sleep. There's not one that will be immune from that end. And the time for preparation is not the time of the cry, go out and meet him, because we need to be ready when that cry comes. There is a window. There is a season in which we can prepare for the Lord's return, in which we can be watching, alert, aware, listening, responsive to the commands of the Lord. It was a sad time for those that were not able because they had not been prepared, because they did not watch, because they ignored the warning of being prepared. When they were turned away and not known by the bridegroom, and Jesus speaks this parable as a means to warn us, as a means to wake us up. He separates the group into wise and to foolish. And we know who the wise are. Jesus himself defines it for us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. a passage of Scripture that we know well. When Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock." There are many things that we could connect this idea of oil. We could say it's faith. We could say it's the Spirit. But the theme of this parable is preparation. What is it that is the oil that needs to be received into our hearts, into our lives, so that we can be ready for the Lord's return? The Lord speaks to us, and he shares his word. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What is the word of Jesus Christ that has been proclaimed and has been recorded in the Scripture, that has been preached time and time again from this pulpit, that you know that you are missing and that you know that you need in order to be ready? My friend, outside of Christ, Jesus Christ began his preaching with the word of repentance. And he ended his preaching as he passed it along to the apostles to preach all of the things that Jesus taught, and preach and teach repentance and baptism and forgiveness of sins. This is available to you today. And so Jesus asked, "Will you be among the wise who hear his teaching, who hear him preaching, as it were?" We were sitting in the synagogue when he was standing up to teach, or sitting down to teach on the mountaintops, in that quiet place, when the busyness of this world was far behind the crowds, and they listened intently. "Lord, what is it that I need to have in preparation for thy return, in responsiveness to the word that's given?" Jesus taught, "Whatsoever that ye would that men would do unto you, do ye also to them." And this word Jesus speaks to all of us. We know, without much education, without much training, exactly how we would like to be treated. And Jesus said, "If you see a need of someone that you can understand and you know how you would like to be treated, go and do that for them." Have you been wronged by someone? You would like to receive an apology. Have I wronged someone? Then I need to take my own medicine and apologize. There is great freedom in simply taking the words of Jesus Christ and living them out. The words of the Scripture and the commands of God are given that our joy might be full. When Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" he responded that it is to love the Lord and to love one another. A high and holy commandment, to love the Lord our God with all the heart, with all the soul, all the mind, and all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And at times it poses challenges, and difficulties to fulfill. But when is it that you know and feel the greatest peace? Is it when I hold on to bitterness, anger, resentment, and unforgiveness? Or is it when I see someone who perhaps has hurt me and who I might see as even a threat and realize Jesus looked at that sort of person and said, "Forgive them." And when we agree with Jesus, and when we follow his simple command, we find out that his commands are not grievous, but they are the ones that will lead us to the greatest peace, the most full contentment and joy. May the Lord, in his wisdom, in the way that he knows the hairs of our heads like no one else could count, he knows our thoughts. He knows the things that are easy to us and that we can accept easily. He knows the things that are challenging to us and that we struggle with. And we are all alive, thank God. We all have life and we are awake, most of us. And we're listening to the word. And we're wondering, Jesus, why did you tell me this morning? Why did you wake me up this morning to hear this word? Jesus departs from his parable to explain why he's bothering to share this account. He says, "Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You and I are not in control. There are many things that you and I do not know. There are many needs that we recognize in our hearts, in our lives, that we have failed. And when we look back to those times, sometimes we look back with regret and we say, "I wish I had gone back to the one who I knew could help me. I wish I had gone to," like these virgins, they might have said, "I wish I had gone to the market earlier. I wish that when something would prick in my conscience, an understanding of my failure, or that I'm doing something wrong, that I would quickly go to the source of help." These virgins, the foolish ones, they looked from side to side, they looked to the ones that are around them, and they could not find the help that they truly needed, that would truly satisfy. They could maybe get some help for a time, but they needed to go to the one who would provide. We need to think about that. We need to allow that to stir within our hearts and minds, because we know the right answer. It comes out so quickly. We've heard it before. The Lord can provide. We know that's the truth of the word. But that truth of the word only becomes powerful and has strength and will actually do something to my attitude, my character, my behavior, my thoughts, when that knowledge is mixed with faith. I know that it's true that God provides, but now I need to know that He is the only hope. He's the only one that I can go to. And thanks be to God that He's the kind of one who went the distance for us in our great need, in sending His only begotten Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if the Lord has given His only begotten Son, what will He withhold from those that love Him and turn to Him and acknowledge and know, I have no other place I can go to for help? What? How? Who will He turn away? Who mixes what He knows of the Word with faith and says, this is not just what a book says, but I believe that this is the truth. And I will depend upon this more than I depend upon myself and my ability to get out of my situation that I'm in. More than I'm willing to trust in someone and what words they might say to comfort me or make me feel a little bit better. I know I need to go to the source. Those that heard Jesus teach, they heard Him speak with authority, and then He followed through with actions. And they watched as His hands broke bread and divided fish from a young man's lunch and fed and provided for thousands. Those were the hands that worked hard as a carpenter. Those were the hands that reached out in compassion and love to one who was unclean and unworthy, and with power and ability brought healing and cleansing when there was no other way. And those are the very hands that were pierced with nails. Those are the hands from which the blessing of love and the grace of God, that when we desire and we believe, can fill our hearts with overflowing abundance, that we would need no other source, no other refuge. We are full of contentment in the blessing that He's provided from His hands, from His side. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God that He is the one that we can go to today. With love, with faith, and with a humble heart, and ask and receive the thing that we need, the thing that the Spirit of God in the quiet moments of this morning are telling me that I need. Will He not open the windows of heaven to provide enough strength, enough light, enough help that you will be able to overcome whatever it is that is before you? Jesus told His disciples after at a time that after He had cursed a fig tree, and Peter remarked, the fig tree has died. Jesus' first command to them was, have faith in God. And he told them about the power of prayer and about how a mountain can be moved when we believe and ask the Lord in faith. And then he explained about a very similar mountain, not a physical one, but one that is also daunting and impossible to move on our own. He talked about forgiveness. Both the physical mountain that is impossible to move on our own and the heart of forgiveness, the way that the Lord has forgiven us, that is what the Lord seeks for us to strive for. To have that heart that would love the Lord our God with all of our strength, with all of our soul, all of our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And there are many applications of that truth. And for each of us, we're facing something differently. For each of us, we see only our own face in the mirror. And that may be the biggest mountain that I have in front of me. But there is hope, and there is help, and it's not insurmountable. Jesus does not provide a command that he will not help us to fulfill. And when he says, you can be prepared, and that there is only one name under heaven by which we can be saved, we have the answer. And we have all that we need. May God help me, and may God help each of us believe that he is the only way. Only put our faith and trust in him and in nothing else, and it will be well with our souls. I'd like to leave the room for the brother in the other language.